Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat shalom, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I send out a, if you can hear me, send me a shout out. Let me know that you can hear me clearly. And as always, grab your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, your concordance, your Bibles, everything that you need for a good study. But we're going to go down this road of the Word today, and hopefully you get a little more understanding of what the Father has to say to us on this day. Like always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. We thank thee for the blessings and the lessons that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for the healing that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for the comfort that you've given us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for your love. But ultimately, Father, we thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King. For it is through his spilled blood that we have been given an opportunity to meet with you on this day and to have that hope to meet you in the kingdom. Father, we thank thee. In the name of thy Son, Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom again, dear family, friends, and listening audience. We're about to begin another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm just going to rehash a little bit, you know, just the message of last week. And it was about that and how we have to work to get to that kingdom. And how, you know, we know that it's work that we have to put in. But we already know that the battle is won. But we still, as servants and believers, must do something. We have to do something to ensure that we make it into that kingdom. And throughout the course of various lessons, it's been reiterated how we must listen to his voice. We have to pay attention to his prophets and his teachers, because that is how we as humanity receive his word, the ones he have put his spirit upon to teach his word to all those who are listening. And as we learned before, you know, we asked him to open our minds so that we can hear his voice. Help us to clear the clutter of our minds so that we can hear clearly, and so that we can continue to sweep and garnish our homes, our minds, and fill it up with that spirit of that word of Yahushua, so that we too can become a flame of fire once again. This message is called Peace, Peace, Please, Father. And the reason why, you know, the Father put this on my heart, because we live in a time now that people want peace. People want tranquility. People want things to go back to the norm. But we as Israel, we already know that these things are what's supposed to happen. And for us to act like it's something new, you have not been paying attention to the scriptures, because this is Israel's plight. But he also, through the scriptures, tell us how we can get through these things. So I want to start off with a couple of definitions. And it's interesting in regards to, you know, this lesson, because I started off with a scripture. And I looked the definition up of peace. But the ironic thing is that I don't even have the scripture that I used. So, but then the Father, he led me and guided me another route in regards to dealing with this peace. So we're going to start off with, in your Strong's Concordance, in your Hebrew section, the word is 7965, and it's Shalom. And it's it means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. So that's what I ultimately looked up for peace. But, you know, one of the definitions that jumped out at me in this particular definition was completeness. And then this word led you to another word, shalom, shalom. And that's 7999. And its definition, it had to be complete or sound and make amends, make an end, finish, full, make good, pay again. And this is another definition for shalom or peace. And it says it comes from, this particular word comes from a primitive root to be safe in mind, body, or state. Figuratively, to be make complete. Implication, to be friendly. Then this definition led you to another definition, which was 8,000. And it's shalom. And it means to be complete, deliver, finish. And it also has a definition of to restore. So from there, you know, I went to Webster's, you know, see what the English have for the definition of peace. And peace is freedom from disturbances, quiet, tranquility. And then the scripture that the Father led me to as far as peace was concerned was Matthew's chapter 10, verse 34. And it reads, "Do not think that I came to send peace on the earth. I did not come to send peace, but a sword." And the definition for that peace is 1515 in your Greek lexicon. And it's Eirene. And it means oneness, quietness, rest. Usage, peace of mind. So in light of this scripture, this is the Messiah speaking to the people. And as you know, you know that Israel during this particular time, they were under Roman occupation. And you know, the people at that time, they wanted to be lifted from that Roman occupation or the leadership of the Romans. You know, in their minds, they, you know, I think they were talking the scriptures where, you know, they were talking to the Messiah and they were saying how they never were in slavery, not realizing that they were in slavery under the Roman occupation. Because they didn't have freedom to do anything that they wanted to do. Even when you pay attention to, they were trying to, you know, when they went to persecute the Messiah, they had to go to the Romans to get authorization. And the Romans told them, hey, look, we don't see anything wrong. He didn't break any laws of ours. So even with that, they didn't even have freedom to implement the laws in which they said governed them as a people. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, when we look at, you know, when the Messiah came, that the people of that time didn't recognize him for who he was, because they were looking for a certain type of Messiah, a Messiah that was going to come and remove them from the Roman occupation. But he said, nah, you know, reading the scripture again, do not think I came to send peace on the earth. I did not come to send peace, but a sword. And when you get into it a little further, he explains what he means by that sword. And ultimately, it's, you know, he's bringing a level of division amongst the people. But actually, what is he doing? He is separating the people those who are going to serve the Most High and those who are not going to serve the Most High. So now I'm going to start with my initial scripture, and it's in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. And it reads, "Another came forth, a red horse, who sat on it, was given power to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. There was given to him a great sword." So when I read this, it made me understand that peace was on the earth at one time. But something was authorized for peace to be taken from the earth. And then, as you know, I read in Matthew's that people wanted peace to come back. That means man has to do something in order for peace to come back. And as we know, that is keeping Torah. But in the process of keeping Torah, you have to war within yourself, because we have to understand that our nature is not to do that of the word, or not to do what the Most High wants us to do, and that is be obedient, because of the initial brought into humanity, and that was disobedience, because that's what man did. That's what Adam did. He was disobedient. He failed to listen to the voice of the Most High. So from here, we're going to go to Luke chapter 12. Verse 49 to 51, and it reads, "I came to throw fire on the earth. I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism ties with, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace in the earth? I tell you no, but rather division." So what is he saying? You know, we know that the Messiah had already went through that baptism of water. But now we have to understand that he has to go through the harsh fire or the harsh punishment of mankind. And so from here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 through 8. And it reads, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you aren't troubled. For all must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, plagues, and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are the beginning of birth pains." So we have to understand that there's a trial and tribulation that we also have to go through. Just as the Messiah went through the same things when he laid his life down for our sake. He went through the harsh punishment of humanity for nothing. But not for nothing, because he had not committed a crime. But he was punished as if he did commit a crime for our sakes. Because as we know, as the scripture said, our minds are wicked. Our thoughts are wicked. We don't think about serving the Most High. We think about how we can break his laws and his statutes and judgments. But we as believers, in cleaving to what Yahushua has done, understand that we have to put in that work to be obedient. We have to rise above our nature and be obedient. And understanding that when we struggle, we have to remember what our Lord and Savior went through for our sakes. And it's not a hard task to do the same for him. Because as we do these things for him, He lives in us. And he will give us the strength to overcome these things. So in the scripture of Matthew 24:6-8, in verse 8 it says, but all these things are the beginning of birth pains. And so from here, Father led me to Hosea chapter 13, verse 13. And it reads, the sorrows of a travailing woman will come on him. He is an unwise son, for when it is time, he does not come to the opening of the womb. And this is dealing with the pains and the struggles of doing the right thing. See, there comes a time where we have to come out and burst forth, stand our ground, when we're saying that we're serving the Most High, when we're saying that we're going to stand on his word and keep his laws, statutes, and judgments. We have to come forth and stand for his word. But it says, as an unwise son is not going to stand. He's going to stay where he is. He's not going to stand for what Yahushua did. He's not going to have faith in Yahushua. See, so when we burst forth and stand forth and go through those pains, troubles, we're doing it not for our own sake, but for the sake of Yahushua, so that we show and be a witness that his dying and his laying his life down for us was not in vain. From here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And this is Brother Paul, and it reads, he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Yahushua may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness and in injuries and necessities and persecution and distress for Yahushua's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we have to understand that, you know, sometimes we as individuals have little character flaws, and that we want these character flaws to be removed from us. But it's these character flaws that keeps us humble. And when we understand that this is why we have these character flaws, then we can bask in the glory of understanding that the Father has his eye on us, that he has his Son constantly watching over us, stands and knows that we are going to do what we're supposed to do for his sake. So we understand that we are strong in Yahushua, but weak in the flesh. Our minds must be ingrained in that word. Our minds must be elevated. There's a scripture that talks about how we have to renew our mind. We have to get rid of those things that we have in our minds that causes us to stumble at the word of Yah. But at the same time, using the word of Yah to uplift us and strengthen us and help us to remove the iniquities from within us. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 104, verse 4. And it reads, he makes his messengers wind and his servants flames of fire. We are servants to Yahushua. But he called us his friends also. He called the disciples his friends. And we as believers, that's a process. That's a process. But we are his servants. Why? Because we have a work to do here on this earth. and we're doing that work. And understanding that we are fire. We are fire. And so from here, we're going to go deal with the fire that dwells within us as servants and as believers. But then we have to understand, when you deal with humanity in general, there's a fire in humanity. There's a fire in us. And see, it's that fire that dwells within each and every one of us that is supposed to be connected to that fire in heaven, so that we all can have an opportunity to be a servant, do the will of the Most High. So in regards to that fire, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And it reads, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" So we're going to go to the term for man. And that is, and it means definition, man, great, mighty, mighty man, high degree, him, husband. Then we're going to go to woman, and that is Isha. That's woman, wife, female. But the reason why I went here in regards to understanding that there's a fire within man and there's a fire within woman, because when you take one of the letters from out of this word, we're going to start with man, which is Ish. And if you go to the Hebrew, it's spelled Aleph, Yod, Shin. And if you remove or take the yod from out of the word, you have ish, which is, and then if you come down to isha, which is olive, shin, hey, if you remove the hey, you have fire again. So the Father has placed himself within us, just a part of him within each individual, well, each. And man, he added a part of himself, and then woman, he added a part of himself. But then the uniting of man and woman has the Father within it, within us, which takes us back to our original state when man was first created. And we have to understand that there's a fire that dwells within man, and that's a work that man must do, and there's a fire within woman that she must do. And together, they do the will of the Father in this earth. And being that servant, and being that flame of fire. Because one of the things that fire does, fire purifies things. If you want to get impurities out of gold, put it in the fire, and it will get the infirmities out of it. If you have any kind of things that's in water, you boil that water, and it will get rid of all the infirmities out of that water. So fire is a form of purification. And like, you know, when you read in the scripture, he said that fire was shut up in his bones. See, it's that word that was shut up in his bone, and it was like fire, because what was it doing? It was cleansing him from the inside, which caused him to want to speak that word to cleanse others. See, that's what that word does when it's inside of us. That fire, that natural spirit that dwells within us. But when that spirit connects with Yahushua, then what does it do? It begins to assist us in cleaning the inside of the cup. Inside of my mind, inside of your mind. But then you have to want that. Because some of us do not want to cleanse our mind, to cleanse our ways. We want to remain how Adam became after he failed to obey the voice. And from here, we're going to go to John chapter 17, verse 15 to 18. And it reads, I pray not that you would take them from the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And as you know, and I read this scripture to let you know that we have been sanctified by Yahushua. And we are being sent out there into the world. But we have to understand that we are being protected. We're being protected. But we have to also do what our purpose is. And as being a servant of Yahushua, we have to spread the gospel of him and bring people back to the knowledge of keeping those laws, statutes, and judgments. But at the same time, judge ourselves and make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do. Because if we're judging ourselves now, we won't be judged later. And because we are a flame of fire, when he comes back, we're going to merge with him as a servant. And we have a story of that when we look at the three Hebrew brothers. Why didn't the flame consume them? Because they were servants of the Most High. That spirit that dwelled within them just merged with the fire that mankind had made. See, their belief in the Most High allowed them to transcend the physical. So they became one with the physical from the spiritual. And we too can do the same thing. But we have to continue in the word of Most High. We have to continue in learning of Yahushua. We have to continue. And as we go on this journey called life, constantly adding and adding and discarding and discarding and sharing and taking in, sharing and taking in. We're constantly growing and growing in faith and in the belief of Yahushua and in the word. Because we're living in a time where people don't even believe in the word of Yah any longer. And as believers and as servants, as brothers and sisters, we have to be that example. We have to be those witnesses to this darkened world. that these laws, statutes, and judgments still exist, still apply today. Because many people believe that they are no longer relevant. I mean, relevant. And as we walk our day-to-day life with the mercy of the Most High granting us another opportunity to share His wisdom and His word with those in whom we encounter. So we have to understand that, yes, peace is coming. It's coming. But our first peace must be inquired within ourselves. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So we can acquire peace. But if we pay attention to this scripture here, peace is something that is acquired through work and dedication to Yahweh's word. These are characters that we can take on. And if we look at some of the different stories, like Stephen, when he was being stoned, he had a level of peace in his mind that he seen the heavens. And he understood where he was. When we deal with some of the other apostles, they understood where they were. They understood. And they had a relationship with Yahushua. So we too can gain peace in this chaotic and wicked world by obtaining a firm relationship with Yahushua, by understanding the words that have been given to us as a guide, as a tool, as instructions on how we can make it into the kingdom. So family, that we are servants of the Most High. We are flames of fire. We are here not to bring peace, but to bring that sword. And that sword is going to separate those who serve the Most High and those who don't. But we have to make sure that we are solid in our foundation, that we are building upon that chief cornerstone, which is Yahushua, and standing with his full armor and taking on his full character, which is stated to us within his word. We just read his character. And these are the characters that we must take on. And we have to be willing. We have to be willing, because we understand in the word that the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is here. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Shalom, Israel. That's my last scripture, and I just hope that you all understand that the Father can grant you peace, but that peace is of the mind. That peace is with him. Peace is not going to come from mankind. Peace comes from a relationship with Yahushua. So family and friends, I'm going to have a closing prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for opening our ears on this Sabbath day. Thank you, Father, for giving us a willing heart to take the time to listen to your words on this Sabbath day. We thank thee, Father, for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. And we ask of thee, O Father, to continue to open our hearts to receive the wonders of your word. Help our unbelief, O Father, and bring us closer to your truth through thy Son, Yahushua. Help us, Father, to listen to those in whom you have chosen to minister your word to us, so that we too can minister your word to those in whom we come in contact with. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us and help our ailing bodies, help our ailing minds, so that we can be strong individuals for you, doing your will, speaking your words. Thank you, Father, for healing the sick, clothing the naked, and feeding the hungry, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We thank thee, Father, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shalom, Israel, and may you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom.
Yeah. Day. I am humble, so I bow down. Nice to meet you. I give you me as a living sacrifice. Yeah. Everything I do is for you. You swallow me like a babe. Only in you I put my faith. Spoke to my heart today. When I think of you, it's hallelujah. I give all praise to you, cause you're worthy. Won't forsake. We will do things. From fatal destruction. All you say